So he clearly came in with a big pedigree, but at the same time, he was sort of looking at it going, it's his first managerial job. This club is on fire, and not in the positive sense, you know. And he's just come in and made a monumental difference. And it's difficult to see him not going right to the top, really. He's just turned 35 this week. And just everything, I mean, the style of play, the improvement in some of the players is absolutely remarkable. Paul Valentin, the Spanish right-back, is one that keeps being described by supporters. His first weeks didn't look anything like a championship player, and in the space of a few months, he's now one of the more consistent performers and looks like he's been playing in the league all his life. And the groundswell of everything that's happened has taken the fan base up along with it. Boney M is a song that keeps being played, and to Danny Rowles' chant, and the club is utterly unrecognizable from those first weeks.
Mm-hmm. What are the main changes that he's made? Has it been tactical changes like a formation tweak or the style of play? Kind of what are the main things that he's tweaked to get such a big upturn in terms of results?
Yeah, the tactics can change, you know, from three at the back to five at the back, and there's intricate tactical things that go way, way over my head, and it takes me about 3 days afterwards to work out what's gone on there. So it's clearly very sophisticated on that point. I think one of the big drivers for him, and he described it as a demand in his first ever press conference, was intensity. And Wednesday hadn't had that. They looked like a set of players that were feeling a bit sorry for themselves in the opening few weeks. And now I think they've only been outrun by their opponents and, you know, a handful of occasions under Danny and what he's done. So just the look and feel of everything, you know, they don't necessarily press from the front, but everything's high intensity, and you can see that it makes life very difficult for opposition teams. And the spirit of the place. He's a good communicator. You know, the fans were on board with him very early doors, and obviously the results have dragged all that with them.
Mm-hmm. Just looking at recent results, you mentioned obviously it's been a great few months, but it seemed for a long time that while Sheffield Wednesday were picking up results, they were still in that relegation zone. Obviously, they had a lot of points to claw back, and they seemed to be 23rd for quite a long time, but they've managed to climb out of the relegation zone now. And looking at the last five results, it's five unbeaten, three of them wins, beat West Brom 3-0 at Hillsborough last time out. So just how impressive of recent performances been, and what sort of kind of form, obviously great form coming into the game, but how have they been playing coming into the game against Sunderland?
Yeah, good. I mean, I keep going back to those first few weeks, but they really were dire. And the idea of Wednesday scoring three goals in back-to-back games and winning both those games, it was fanciful for a long, long time. It's another mark of the job that Danny and his coaching staff have done. The draw against Stoke was, I think people walking away from the stadium that day felt it was such an opportunity missed. Wednesday battered them in the first half and ended up drawing the game 1-1, and results elsewhere sort of went against Wednesday. That's been perhaps the most impressive thing in a lot of ways. The setbacks that Wednesday have had along the way, and then more or less every single time they've had a big result off the back of it. And credit to the players as well as Danny and the coaching staff, who we wax lyrical about quite a lot. I mean, a 4-0 defeat at Huddersfield in, I think it was February, set them 9 points back. You know, and you look at that and you fully expect things to just slide off and for Wednesday to be relegated in the fashion that perhaps Rotherham have. But it hasn't been the case. And yeah, it's testament to a very experienced Wednesday squad as well. I'm not sure the players have had quite enough credit for what they're doing. The spotlight is obviously on Danny and he's sort of been given this messiah status and rightly so. But it's a very experienced group of players, a lot of whom have sort of been involved in championship relegation battles before. And for them to adapt to such a big upturn in what they're being asked to do in terms of intensity and stuff, a lot of these guys are the other side of 30. Yeah, it's been very, very impressive indeed.
Obviously, you don't want to speak too soon. Wednesday only needing a point, as we said, at Sunderland. There's now a bit of a buffer as well between them. Now Plymouth are below them, and then you've got Birmingham in the relegation zone. So both of those sides have to win, and Wednesday have to lose for them to go down. But does it feel like among the fan base that the hard part is kind of done now, and kind of what is the mood kind of heading into this last game at the Stadium of Light?
I think someone did the maths and worked out of the teams that can go down, there are 27 different possible combinations in results across all those teams. Only one of them results in Sheffield Wednesday going down.
Yeah.
If there's any football club on the planet that could happen to, it's Sheffield Wednesday. It just seems to be that. That's the reason why, you know, in conversations that I've had this week and in the reporting that we've done, it's just impossible to rule it out because mad stuff just happens to that football club. You know, there's no basis for that on a football point of view. As you said, five unbeaten and two wins on the spin and very impressive in doing that. Yeah, there's just that thing in the back of your head that invariably the craziest thing seems to happen to Wednesday. Mm-hmm. But I think there is a confidence. So the scenes after the game on Saturday were jubilant, I'd say. I wouldn't describe it as overconfidence or anything like that. I'm not sure between the players and the coaching staff that they'd allow that to happen. But I remember there was a game earlier on in the season, looking out and the stands are half full and that there's the protests and, you know, the manager at the time was getting, you know, dogs abuse. And for that to all be turned around in a matter of months is it was a remarkable sight to have a look at the scene after the last home game.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you'll be aware as well that Danny Roll has been linked with the Sunderland job quite a bit over the last few months. Obviously, he's been focused on keeping Sheffield Wednesday in the Championship. I think he's got about 2 years left on his contract. So correct me if I'm wrong, but kind of have you got the impression that he sees being at Wednesday long term? Do you think he sees that as himself being there next season? Or obviously, there will be a lot of clubs that will be looking at what he's done and thinking he's could be quite a good manager for them as well.
Yeah, his stock is very, very high, and I think that's why he's been touted for some of these jobs. It'll be an interesting few weeks. He's spoken quite candidly, really, about the assurances that he needs from the owner, Dave Pontchansiri, who, you know, you readers and listeners might well be aware he's sort of a controversial figure and... the assurances that he needs is around a proper club strategy. And that's something that Wednesday haven't really had in the time that Chancery has sort of been at the wheel. Danny comes from a Red Bull background where everything is sort of meticulous and everything points towards an end goal and is carefully planned. And obviously, you know, the other clubs that he's worked at are very, very sophisticated in terms of their off-field infrastructure. So, it will be fascinating to see how those conversations go. And I don't think anyone truly knows. You know, if you'd spoken to me ahead of the playoff final last year and said, well, in a month's time, Darren Moore won't be manager. I'd have laughed at you. But again, Sheffield Wednesday and madness seems to come around. But Danny... As I said at the top, I think he's got every right to expect to go right to the very top. It's been a real pleasure to see what he's done, and from a Wednesday perspective, let's hope that he does it for a very long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure Wednesday staying in the Championship would significantly increase his chance of staying, rather than if they went down to League One, then he may look elsewhere. But how will he set his side up this weekend, coming back to the game against Sunderland, in terms of his system, and how do you expect them to approach the game at the Stadium of Light?
I've given up on that, Joe. He's a lot of his thinking is around keeping the opposition team guessing. Okay. So when it comes to us, and I'm sure you have to do the same, doing predicted
lineups
and all that sort of thing, we've been made to look quite silly and clueless, which isn't far wrong, let's be fair. Yeah, I would expect thing is, he's chopped and changed so much. You know, they've had good results on the road, playing a three and a four. I'm actually not going to give to what I would expect. You know, if you're a Sunderland fan, what to expect? High intensity. I think they'll mix it up in terms of their passing approach. There were times earlier in the season where Wednesday seemed hell bent on short passing and playing out from the back. The last few weeks have seen a little bit of a shift on that front. Michael Smith, who was the 20 goal man that got them promoted last season. He's a big target man. He's a big Newcastle United fan, so that's something perhaps to look out for. But he's sort of been brought a little bit more into the fold, just to give them the option of going a little bit more direct, and certainly that seems to have made the players just a little bit more comfortable. Some of the players, you know, these aren't Danny's players, and asking them to play out from the back at times just got them into a little bit of trouble. But yeah, I'm not even going to give you a formation or anything, because the fact is I'll be guessing.
Yeah, well, we do predicted lineups as well, and it was particularly tricky when Alex Neil was in charge of Sunderland, because he changed the shape every single week, and it was hard to pick a predicted lineup. But you mentioned some of the players there. Who are the kind of key players that make this Wednesday side tick at the minute under Danny Rowland? Who are the players that Sunderland will have to watch out for?
Yeah, there's a few. We had our we do the Star Sports Awards every year, and it's sort of an awards ceremony that brings in all the local clubs in South Yorkshire. And so it was down to me and my colleague Joe to name a Wednesday Player of the Year, and I think we spoke about 8 different players. You know, it's not been like there's been one 30-goal striker or a goalkeeper that's done, you know, made 8 saves a game and all this sort of thing. So we gave it to Barry Bannon, who I think is the name that people reach for, and certainly opposition supporters most associate with Wednesday. He's not had it all his way this season. You know, Cisco had him playing in a completely different role, and there have been times where I think he'd be the first to admit, you know, games have gone past him a little bit in a way that hasn't happened. But the last few months, he's just been absolutely remarkable, and keeps Wednesday ticking off the ball as well. He's added a lot to his game, which at 34 has been very impressive. Anthony Masaba is Wednesday's top scorer. When he's good, he's absolutely unbelievable. And he certainly was against West Brom. He tore them to shreds down the right-hand side, and his running and his pace can really hurt opposition teams. Josh Windass is a player that always seems to come to the fore at this time of the season. You know, you look back at his record. Again, you know, he's had injury problems, and he's been one that maybe has had games that he wouldn't be quite so proud of, but he's got 2 in his last 2 and just a really big game player. Yeah, those are the 3 I'd probably pick out. Ike Ogbo is another. Paul Valentin, as I mentioned before, on the right-hand side. The defence has been pretty tidy. James Beadle is in excellent form in goal. I'm talking Wednesday up to a big 4 here, but there are a lot of players that seem to be in good nick at the minute.
Mm-hmm. And how do you think Wednesday will be looking ahead to this fixture against Sunderland? Sunderland, obviously, a side that don't have anything to play for in terms of they're not going to go up, they're not going to go down. Haven't won at the Stadium of Light. I think it's now 6, the last 6 they haven't won at the Stadium of Light, so not in great form. So will Wednesday be viewing this as a good fixture to have to get over the line to secure their place in the Championship next season?
This sounds good to me, Joe. You're selling it perfectly. As I said, the maddest thing always happens to Sheffield Wednesday. But Wednesday will go to attack. I think there's little doubt about that. Despite only needing a point, you know, the mindset and the way they go about things has been so important to Danny and the you know, the way that they've managed to pull up this resurgence. So Wednesday will go for 3 points. They said after the Stoke game, there's 3 games left. We'll get 9 points, and they're doing that. So if Sunderland get the first goal, it all becomes very, very nervy. The form guide would point to a Wednesday win. I think it's worth pointing out, despite the fact that Wednesday are where they are in the table, since Danny came in. I think they're 10th in the championship, yeah. And there have been times where they've been, you know, 6th or 7th, and looking at that, which adds another dimension to the question of what's going to happen with the next few weeks with the owner. But this is a good Wednesday side, and as I say, they'll be going out to win it.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen much of Sunderland this season, aside from obviously the game at Hillsborough in the season? It's always interesting sometimes getting a kind of outsider looking in of how Sunderland have done.
Yeah, bits and pieces. Not so much of the football, you know, that you guys work as hard as we do, and we see a lot of the goings on. It's been a turbulent campaign.
Yeah.
For Sunderland, and yeah, I've had the impression, not necessarily from you guys, because as everyone knows, we've got the best jobs in the world, but that moving on, everyone up there is quite keen to get to the summer and get some change going. But I mean, it's testament that despite all that turbulence, and you know that there's not been a flirtation with anything going south, and you sort of slept walked, haven't you, towards the end of the season, which is,
yeah,
is a complete contrast to what we've been dealing with. But I don't know if I should say this. I like Sunderland a lot. It's a proper club, isn't it? And a proper fan base and some good players as well. And I think whoever does come in the summer, hopefully he's not a 35-year-old German called Danny,
yeah,
but has got a good club and plenty to work with there.
Mm. Yeah, certainly a big summer for both clubs with Sunderland. They have to get the head coach appointment right this summer after parting company with Tony Mowbray and then with Michael Beale this season, and Wednesday as well. A big summer for them to keep Danny Rowland, and assuming they stay up on the last day. But Alex, just before we leave, we just usually finish by asking our guests for a quick score prediction. How do you think the game is going to go on Saturday at the Stadium of Light?
I think it'll be tight, it'll be edgy, and Wednesday will win 7-0.
7-0. That would be... I wonder what odds you'd get on 7-0.
No, I'll go for... 3-1 Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. I think it'll be a draw. I think Wednesday will get enough. I think as well, I think it's hard to see the other games going against Wednesday. Plymouth and Birmingham. So Birmingham play Norwich, aren't they? And Plymouth, I can't remember. I think they've got a tough game as well. So I think they could be maybe losing by half time, and then it could kind of ease the pressure a little bit on Wednesday. You never know. But I'll go for a draw. I think Wednesday are in the better form. Sunderland want to finish on a high. I think it will be tight because Sunderland have shored things up a little bit at the back in recent weeks. They've gone to a back five, playing with wing backs. That has taken away from their attacking play. But I'll go for 1-1. But certainly a big day for Wednesday to try and secure their place in the championship. And what is remarkable, I was looking at the league table earlier, for as far back as Wednesday were, and this kind of shows just what a good job Danny Roll has done, and also how Sunderland's season has drifted in the second half of the season. If Wednesday win on Saturday, they only finished 3 points behind Sunderland, which seems incredible considering where the two sides were in October, November time, particularly when Sunderland went to Hillsborough and had that 3-0 win. So, as I say, that's again testament to what Danny Roll has done, and also how Sunderland's season has unravelled in the second half of the season. But Alex, thanks a lot for joining us on the latest episode of the Raw podcast. And you can find all the latest Sunderland news and build up to Saturday's match over on the SAFC section of the Sunderland Echo website. Interim boss Mike Dodds will be speaking to the media on Friday morning. We'll also have live updates, analysis and reaction from the Stadium of Light as Sunderland face Sheffield Wednesday. It's also a 12:30 kickoff, so remember to get there early on Saturday. Once again, thanks a lot for listening to the Raw podcast.